The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good morning and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fella. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning, as she does every morning, may I say, is my wife, Ann Fella, who is the Regional Director of Patient Services and the Director of Quality Assurance at A&T Healthcare. Ann, could you give our listening audience a rousing good morning?
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here.
It's always great to be here, feeling all right. I love that song. I never get tired of hearing that song, and I really mean it. I get you rolling and everything. A&T Healthcare, just briefly about A&T Healthcare, we're a healthcare home care agency, and we have offices in Newburgh, Kingston, Mount Kisco, New Jersey, New York City, and our corporate office is in New City, New York. As I always say every week, I want to thank you so much for your listening audience of WTBQ to letting us be part of your Thursday mornings. We talk about health-related topics and subjects, and we're never controversial, contentious, or confrontational controversy, but we are engaging and informative, and it is important that I want to say that we are entertaining. We're bringing different topics, and we want to bring it in a simple format so people can understand it and they can learn from it. We do accept any calls that you may have. Our phone number is 845-651-1110. That's 845 area code 651-1110. Today we're going to be talking about COPD, a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. But before we get started, a couple of things have been going on, Ann.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's always a bunch of things. I know so often I've been one of the things, whether I hope we're listening, I'm not boring our listening audience, but I talk about my little endeavors when I did like the Dancing with the Stars. Well, anyway, I'm scheduled for surgery, and they moved it up a week because the doctor turns out he's going to be in a conference, so it's a week sooner. And I just remember we had one of our shows with Dr. Susan Sobel. She was on. Mm-hmm. She's a physical therapist, and she said one of the most important things you can do prior to having surgery, and I am going for a knee replacement. I'm the anti-HIPAA. I tell everyone my surgeries.
Well, don't be anti-HIPAA, but you can talk about yourself.
Okay. But I'm going for a knee replacement, and I do remember it did resonate on that particular show that it is so important that your legs are at the best capacity prior to the surgery. That will help the rehabilitation part of it. I know they always say that the surgery is the easy part. The hard part is the rehab that comes along with it.
The
recovery
important.
Of it. So I have been going to the gym. I'm still dancing, but now it's fun. There's no competition. Now when I'm dancing, it's just for fun, and Ann and I are starting to get together and keeping that up. So I'm ready for that mentally as well as I'm ready for that physically, which is I think is important.
Yeah, I'm not ready for it mentally.
But. You're not ready for it. Just, oh, boy. And I'm not going to be a whiner, and I promise you, I won't be a whiner. Anyway, Facebook, we know we're on Facebook. I just wanted to briefly start and talk about like Charlie Sheen. I think we all know about that. He made that announcement that he was HIV positive. And my early years in nursing, I worked at the Montefiore Medical Center as well as St. Clair's Hospital, which is now closed. And they were the first AIDS-dedicated hospital. Half the hospital was just AIDS patients, and the other half was just a regular med-surg. So I always have this connection with HIV because I was caring for individuals when it was very, very much unknown. And there's a lot of false information that was going out about how you could contract it and things like that. And I always am there to educate. And that was always the important thing that doing infection control, which was my specialty, that we were always educating. The one thing that I have to say about with Charlie Sheen, I'm not here to say I like him. Granted, I do love 2 and a Half Men. I really have to say that. But one of the things that still resonates about it that concerns me is that there's still the stigma if you're HIV positive. That's what my understanding from what I've heard is that
finding out that you are.
But you know, there's such a stigma that some people had known about his HIV status, and I guess they were extorting him. We're not going to say anything, but you have to pay us this kind of money. And I remember he said to Matt Lauer, I'm not paying him after today, because he just went forward on it. Now, the thing that I get concerned about, and we talk about this all the time on the show, is that because there's a stigma, people don't want to know about it. People don't want to find out whether they're HIV positive. And the thing that you have to remember is that there's been so much advancements that the sooner you make a diagnosis, the better your prognosis is going to be, or how you can adapt to it. I know we said that, Ann, last week about on diabetes, that there are a lot of people that are walking around that they're pre-diabetic or they are diabetic, and they don't even know about it, and they should be doing something about it. And that's what I think was what bothered me so much, is that there is that stigma, and that people should know that, you know, if you do engage in high-risk behavior, that you can be susceptible to contracting HIV. And the sooner you find out, again, as I said, the better the prognosis. And I always remember in the early days when Magic Johnson came forward and he said, oh, yes, I have HIV. And I always remember saying to myself, now here's a man who has incredible wealth, being a professional basketball player. He's going to get the best of the best medical care. And let's see how well he fares. Well, he's doing quite well. However, regular people that have nowhere near the wealth are doing just as well.
Equally as well. Absolutely. The treatment over the last 15 years has changed and it is so much better. They know so much more about it. And those AIDS units that you talk about, yeah, many of them have either closed or decreased the number of beds. I know I worked in a nursing home down in Manhattan for a while, and they had quite a number of dedicated units for people who were HIV positive and actually with full-blown AIDS, where you're really sick because you have no immune system and you're susceptible to so many other.
Right, that's the opportunistic infections and things like that.
And those units basically are gone now because the treatment is so great that people are living much more normal lives.
And I know that, you know, even if there is like a needle stick, I know that that is one of the things.
Protocols in place, like in
nursing, if you get stuck with the needle and you get that cocktail immediately, cocktail meaning.
Yeah, they talked about that.
Not a Manhattan or a
medication
ginger
cocktail.
But a medication cocktail with it's several medications. And the key to it is the sooner you take it, the better it is as far as like, you know, eradicating.
You'll never eradicate the virus completely, but you'll contain it, keep it at a low. I don't like, but I know Charlie Sheen talked about his viral load being
in
a good way, that he's almost not contagious, but that was something that they talked about. Well, yeah, are you still using, you know, protection? And so he said, absolutely, because it can change and, you know, it's always there in a small amount. So.
Yeah. But I just feel that was the message that I wanted to bring out, just bringing up Charlie Sheen. We're just digressing a little bit from the topic that we're having today.
Right.
But I just feel it's important that, you know, you should be tested for like the HIV if you do have high risk behavior, because the sooner you know that you have HIV, the quicker the treatment can start, the better the outcome. And this, we shouldn't have this stigma going on today in 2015. But obviously it still is, and someone taking advantage. Okay, today's program, we're going to be talking about a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. So when we get back, we'll go over all the specific details. You're listening to Health Matters.
A&T Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. A&T Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, A&T Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rachel Ray. Join me today and every weekday with Rach on the Radio. I'll have tips to save you money, celebrity chit-chat, and of course, food. All from the kitchen table of our Emmy Award-winning show, Rachel Ray.
Weekdays at 12:30.
Hi, this is Dick Robinson. Will you join me for 2 hours of the Great American Songbook?
every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
American Standards by the Sea. WTBQ.
Good morning and welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me is my wife, Ann Fella, who is the Regional Director of Patient Services, as well as in charge of Quality Assurance. Well, today's program is on chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD. I think we've heard that. What we're doing on Health Matters is that the month of November is a very ambitious month because they're recognizing different diseases and different professions. And we're kind of following along with that. November is Home Healthcare Month. It is also Diabetes Awareness Month, which we had our previous show. And it is also Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease Awareness Month also, as along with Alzheimer's disease.
And one more thing today.
Today, it's the Great American Smokeout, okay? This is the day when we'll be talking about this later. And one of the things about having this, and this is part of the mantra of Health Matters, is that we're bringing up health issues and we're educating people. And that's part of when they dedicate a month to say, this month is on so-and-so. They want people to be aware of it. They want people to learn about stuff and to educate. And that is exactly what we are doing here on WTBQ every Thursday. And we're just kind of following along as to what's happening. And today we're talking about chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. One of the things that I always find, Anne, and I always... But a lot of times it comes back. We have talking points for a healthy lifestyle. I always get reluctant using that term talking points because I always feel it's associated too much with a political debate or something like that, that they ask one question, they say two words on it, and then they go to their talking points about what they're always saying. But many times during our show, we do have talking points emphasizing the importance of a healthy lifestyle. And needless to say, that's what we'll be talking today about, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Let me start real simply, okay? And a lot of times we always want to use it in layman's terms, is that chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which we will call COPD, is an illness that makes it hard to breathe. Let's make it simple. You have difficulty breathing, okay? Go ahead, Ann.
Correct. That's absolutely correct. Generally, it involves a combination of chronic bronchitis and emphysema. Chronic bronchitis is a thickening of the airways where too much mucus might lead to a chronic cough and then more chance of respiratory infections. And emphysema is damage to the alveoli of your lungs, which is where the air is stored, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it causes the air to get trapped and makes it harder for oxygen to... get into the blood, so you're having less oxygen. So if you have a combination of both, you have too much mucus and your airways are thickened, and now the oxygen is not able to move through your bloodstream, so you're having more and more difficulty.
Yeah, let me try to, in layman's terms, let me try to explain how the breathing process is without using technical terms. I want us to envision, because this is radio, so you just have to envision a tree. Just envision a tree. And then turn it upside down, okay? So the air moves into the trachea. Think of that as the trunk of the tree. That's where the air goes in. Then the air flows to the smaller airways. Those are called the bronchi, okay? So think of them as the branches. Then air also makes its way into the air sacs, which are called the alveoli, and think of them as the leaves. So how is that? That sounds like very simplistic. But those are the whole set. In order for you to breathe, it goes in through your trachea, into your bronchi, and then to the air sacs with the alveoli. Oxygen passes through the alveoli and into the bloodstream. So that's what it goes through there and then gets into the bloodstream. And at the same time, waste gas, that's the carbon dioxide, passes from the bloodstream
carbon
to the alveoli.
Carbon dioxide.
Right, the carbon dioxide, thank you. And then it's exhaled. So that's the in very layman's terms and simply, that really is how it works. But how do you actually develop, what happens when COPD develops, Ann?
So what happens is the airway walls inflame and thicken. the air sacs break down and the airways and the air sacs become less elastic. So they're not moving as fluidly as they should. And at the same time, there is an increase in mucus, which is also clogging. So now you're not moving, your air isn't moving, your lungs aren't expanding, and you're also clogged. So that, and in later stages, there might be too little oxygen in the blood and too much carbon dioxide in the blood. And that makes the heart work harder and makes it difficult for the blood to pump through, and there's less oxygen. And as they say on the commercial, you feel like there's an elephant sitting on your chest.
Yeah, the elephant. Or the other thing I always remember, yeah, that's right. You get inundated with all these commercials talking about it. And I just saw, even they always describe it as that, imagine breathing through a straw. If you had to breathe through a straw each time.
Right. And in some cases, people with COPD may also have asthma. And asthma is another chronic lung condition that makes breathing difficult. And so it's important that all these different issues are and problems are treated. You can't just treat one. You have to treat all of them. So you know, you always have to keep that in mind.
Okay, and that's what, so how does it develop, actually? What's the number one cause of COPD?
Well, the number one cause is smoking.
Is smoking, okay. Right. And we are going to be talking a little bit about smoking. And right, what other factors can play into
it? We've learned a lot over the years about what smoking can do.
There are other things you could have, like industrial pollutants, like you're always concerned about air pollution, smog, and those kind of things. Those are all things that can exacerbate it. So even if you aren't smoking, those are things that could contribute to it. Primary symptoms.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The symptoms are very straightforward. Difficulty breathing, shortness of breath, wheezing, excess mucus, coughing, and feeling weak and tired. You also have weight loss because I guess there's less oxygen that's getting into your bloodstream, and therefore you don't have the activity. So people, and this is where you get like a big double-edged sword, people are afraid of feeling breathless. Like imagine, as I said, you have to breathe through a straw, and because of that, you're less active. When there's less activity, that's part of that worsens the health cycle so much because you have to be active as far as moving around, and if you're not able to do it, that's really what's going to be exacerbating it. So let's just talk a little bit now about smoking, Anne, okay? The important thing that we always try, and we always try to spell it, is that there's always a form of prevention, okay? Prevention. What can you do to lessen your risk as far as getting a particular disease? And as we've already stated earlier, is that smoking is the leading cause of COPD. So today, November, Thursday, the third Thursday of November, is the Great American Smokeout. I have to share a story with our listening audience, a very, very close story. Is my mother, rest in peace, Mom. I hope you listen. I hope I'm doing a good job on the show. I'm talking about you. But I remember my mother was a chronic smoker. She was a habitual smoker, nonstop. She'd finish one cigarette, stamp it out, get another one. It was like a chain smoker, I believe that's what it is, nonstop, whether it was one or two packs of cigarettes a day. And she did it for years. And my brother and I always hated the breakfast mornings when she'd be smoking and you're taking it in and that sort of stuff. And it was just none of her children smoked or anything. It was because we just had that terrible exposure to it when I was young. But my mother, she stopped on the Great American Smokeout, absolute cold turkey. She just literally stopped on that day, never smoked again, they didn't have the nicotine patches
right.
that they have now.
Little
helpful things that are available now. Didn't have it, but she quit. But she quit, and I don't know whether the doctors read her the riot act, said, you're going to be dead in a year if you don't stop it. Long story short, she stopped. She did have some residual effect, but really, it had changed so much. It's changed so much. I also, Ann, our good friend, Mary Lynn from the complex, I remember she told me that she was a smoker, and she stopped, and she doesn't smoke. She stopped smoking, and I remember she said to me one time that she enjoyed it so much is that if they ever said to her, gee, I have this you know, there's this terminal disease. I'm going to die within a year. She said the first thing that she would do is she would start smoking again because she just enjoyed it.
I know. I have a friend, Peggy, who always said if she stopped smoking when she became pregnant, and that was it. She never smoked again. But she always said that if she could, if she had a cigarette, she would just.
There's tremendous addictive qualities to it. I know they were saying that the Surgeon General one time said that the nicotine has the same addictive quality as heroin. But, you know, I get upset when you see people like Britney Spears smoking a cigarette and here's her teeth are pearl white and she's a beautiful actress and all this other stuff. But the idea is that, you know, you really have to, it's a hard thing to do, but you really have to try to stop smoking, okay?
Do you remember how long your mother had stopped smoking until she passed away?
It probably was like well over 10 years then. I want to say it was like well over 10 years. And, you know, we always talk about with the secondhand smoke about how bad that is. I always wonder about that myself because I did have that kind of exposure to it. But smoking is the number one cause of developing COPD. So I really want to stress to everyone, if you're a smoker right now, you have the potential, if you continue and you continue that, that you can develop COPD. And a lot of the stuff that we've already pointed out shows that there's a great risk in terms of your quality of life about what you can do.
Right.
I have to talk about the Orange County Department of Health. They have a, just call them up. They have a lot of work as far as helping people to stop. I mean, I know the New York State Department of Health, they're always doing that as far as ways of doing it. Some of the research that they're saying is that, you know, you have like counseling and, you know, they have like stop smoking groups. A lot of times when you're doing it with someone else, it can be very helpful. They do have the nicotine. Again, this is something that the doctor would have to prescribe. And I always remember people sometimes did it incorrectly, is that they took the nicotine patch and then they were still smoking. And now they were really getting double the effect and you shouldn't
nicotine.
Do that. So they do have some new medications that are there. And as I said, this is stuff that you would have to discuss with your doctor that may, you know, lessen your cravings for it. I mean,
people try a lot of things, hypnotism, acupuncture.
Yes.
Of course, there's meditation that sometimes is helpful. Also, of course, encouragement and support from family and friends is always paramount when you're trying to accomplish something like this. This is, you know, a very difficult task for people to.
Yeah, and I think our society, I know it's changed so much just in the terms of like smoking. I know Dr. Thomas Frieden from CDC, I'd work with him. He's in charge of CDC, and I worked with him when I was at St. Clair's, and he was a commissioner of health in New York City. He was the first one to say you can't smoke in the restaurants, which was, talk about a monumental tax to do, and that was something that was done. Just real quickly, the story about the Great American Smokeout, it started in the 70s, and they said that it caught on November 18th, 1976. The California Division of the American Cancer Society got nearly 1 million smokers to quit for the day. And that California event marked the first Great American Smokeout, and the society took the program nationwide in 77. And since then, there have been dramatic changes in the way society views tobacco advertising and tobacco use. I remember when I was young, they used to have the ball players would be smoking a cigarette and stuff like that. Now they stopped that, but now you don't even get the commercials on TV. Mm-hmm. I know advertising, you know, one of the things that they're trying to go after the young children, I remember this was a fact, is that they said that after Mickey Mouse, it was Joe Camel who was the most recognized cartoon character for a young child. Okay, it sounds unbelievable, but that's what it is. But really, we just want to stress that today is the Great American Smokeout, and if you are smoking, if you can just, you know, try to smoke for today, just start one day, or even if you just start cutting back. Okay, so I know I shared that story with my mother.
Mm-hmm. Right, she stopped. Cold turkey, nothing. But of course, like I said, encouragement and support from family and friends is so important. And research does show that smokers who have support are more likely to quit for good. So, you know,
and that's what
definitely can help your family member out who might be trying to quit.
I know, I remember my brother and I'm still talking about my family, but I remember my brother and I were trying to, were hiding the cigarettes from my mother and stuff like that. And that really...
Well, we grew up in a time when smoking, when we were young, smoking was very trendy. It was social. Yeah, it was what people did. If you watch movies from the 60s...
That's right, that's right.
Everybody, even TV shows like I Love Lucy, they would be having a cigarette.
Right, right. They really like glamorized it. And I remember one time this friend of my father's, he said, like, why... your generation, I think it was like 15 or 16, he said, why are you smoking? Like, when we were young, not making excuses for our generation, he was saying, was that we didn't know about the health dangers that are going on.
Right.
And now
it was encouraged. It was...
And now you
social,
know about it.
It was trendy. And, you know, now they've found so many risks related to smoking. And actually, one of the risks of developing lung cancer is actually 23 times higher in male smokers and 13 times higher in female smokers as to compare to those who are non-smokers.
Yeah, so that information is very important that we're talking about. The other thing to remember is that with, you know, just doing little steps, like letting people know about it, like a lot of times doing it by yourself, it may be hard. But as I said, there's been a lot of things in the Department of Health in Orange County. They have meetings, regular support meetings. Give them a call. And they're always like working as far as like, you know, preventing it. And even like with the patches, they can give you information on that. But as I said, this is stuff that you should be discussing with your doctor.
Absolutely. You know, talk to your doctor about it. There are ways that, you know, your physician can help you either with a prescription for a nicotine patch or there are other things out there to help you through this and try to set a target date for yourself for quitting. You don't have to do it cold turkey in one day.
Right.
You certainly can do it over time, maybe a special day or by my next birthday or anniversary or my daughter's wedding or son's
wedding, or the birth
of my grandchild. I mean, those things are so important. You know, events in our lives, and I don't know too many people that I haven't seen anyone smoke around children in a long time since I was a child, probably.
And also they say avoid being around smokers, but really, and I don't think any of our friends smoke. I mean,
We have a few here and there, but you know, it's so different now because you can't smoke in restaurants, bars, public areas.
Yes.
Remember, it's changed a lot.
We were on vacation, okay, in the Caribbean, St. Martin, and we sat next to it, and everyone was smoking in the restaurant. Like the table next to us, it wasn't one person smoking;
like
it was four
smoking.
People. Everyone was smoking.
It's something we don't see here
and
anymore.
It's like wow! It was like, you know, having this nice dinner and this like flume of smoke is coming towards your table, but things are a lot stricter here in the United States.
Well,
as opposed to
so many laws and legislation has been passed over the last, I don't know, 30 years, I guess.
Okay. All right, you're listening to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fellens, Director of Education. And when we come back, we'll continue to talk more on chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, a.k.a. COPD. Thank you.
A&T Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home health aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. A&T Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. By working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Elon Gonzalez, host of El Sabor. Tune in every Sunday night at 8 p.m. for the new sound of Orange County and beyond. Dance and sing to pop and traditional Latino music right here on WTBQ, playing the best music.
Hi, this is David Dirks, the host of the Dirks Outdoor Show. Call in as we discuss everything for the outdoor sportsman every Saturday at 7 a.m. right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
WTBQ Weather.
Well, this Thursday will be breezy and unseasonably mild. We could top 60. We'll see some scattered showers this morning, but the steadier rain arriving towards midday. Tonight, that rain will taper off late, then around 40 to 45, followed by some clearing. Now, Friday, mostly sunny, blustering, the low 50s. Friday night, partly cloudy, then around 30 to 32. Over the weekend, Saturday, partly sunny. Highs will be seasonable, 45 to 50. Sunday, partly sunny, breezy, unseasonably cool, not getting past the mid-40s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tommy Else.
WTBQ.
All right, and welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare, and joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fell, who's the Regional Director of A&T Healthcare. As you know, A&T Healthcare is a home health care agency, and we are celebrating the month of November, all home care agencies. Just to let you know, we do have offices in Newburgh, Kingston, New York City, Westchester, one in Jersey, and our corporate office is in New City. Home health care, something that has really changed so much. As I said, the medical delivery system, the paradigm has changed, is that people are being discharged from the hospital sooner and quicker. And the important thing about that is you want to make sure that they're going to have a good outcome, that there may be services that may be needed when you get in the home setting. And that's the thing. I talked a little bit about my upcoming surgery, my knee replacement, and I want to do a beeline home as soon as I can. I am going to need physical therapy, and what better place to get it than in my own home? Okay, that's what it is. So I am a highly motivated patient. Okay, so I really want to get it done and get home as soon as I can, and knowing that there'll be a home care agency, which will be A&T, they'll be able to provide the services that I would need. So I'd rather have it in home than in the hospital setting. Okay, we were talking about today's a Great American Smokeout. I forgot to congratulate some people. I know that there are people out there that have quit smoking. So really, congratulations. I'm sure it was a very daunting task to do. But as I say, it really has improved. There's been so much talk about if you just quit for 24 hours, about how much better things improve if you stop for 2 weeks, and your body can just recover much quicker. So if you have quit smoking, congratulations, and just continue. It's like one day at a time, and then just continue for it. And I guess when you're feeling better, it'll be better. Let's talk a little bit now about additional stresses to your lungs, okay? And as I said, if you're a smoker, you may not have COPD, but you're going to be at a greater risk later on. But there are other factors that you may not have control over that also can exacerbate this particular illness.
Right, absolutely. Avoid secondhand smoke and other things that might bother your lungs.
That's what we said. Don't hang out with smokers. I'm sorry. That's
right, unfortunately. And, of course, if you're using oxygen, you probably shouldn't be around any open flames. So, but air pollution, a lot of times when there's hot weather, humid weather, there's a warning for people who have lung disease to, stay indoors if the air quality is poor, and consider using an air conditioner. So when you see those air quality information out there, pay attention to it. Dust can certainly irritate your lungs. You should probably try not vacuuming, maybe have someone else vacuum when you're not in that area. But sometimes carpet even can, cause dust to gather. Wet mop or clean often with a damp cloth. Pets.
Okay, let me just talk more about dusting. I know, I said, A&T Healthcare, we educate our individuals who want to become a home health care aide or a personal care aide. And one of their responsibilities is as far as maintaining, the cleanliness in the home. And I always stress, if anyone has any kind of asthma, emphysema, that dusting would actually become a priority, because that can exacerbate those symptoms. Just that little thing that if we have that, we want to make sure that that's done on a very regular and consistent basis.
Right, okay. Wiping the tables. And now one of the other things is aerosol spray. So you don't want to spray dusting products. So now they have those nice cloths that kind of catch the dust.
Like a magnet
when you're dusting. So, you know, that can also help and reduce the irritation. Of course, chemicals and perfumes that come in a spray can be irritating if that bothers you. Using unscented detergents, staying away from gasoline fumes. You know, when you're pumping your gas tank or filling up the
All the self-service stuff that you have.
New York is all self-service. There's not too many places that will pump gas for you. You can cross the border right up here and go to New Jersey. Smoke and fire, like outdoor smoke or indoor fireplaces, sometimes can back up. You have to definitely pay attention to that.
And then I think you already touched on it, Annabelle. Like extreme air temperatures and humidity, it's just going to make it a lot harder. I know with the humidity, breathing it in. We want to touch on pets. I know you just said it quickly, but pets are, I know we have a lot of animal lovers in Orange County and WTBQ listening audience, but dander and feathers can cause breathing problems for some people. But you have to remember that pets can be an important source of emotional support. I mean, we have to remember that. So when you talk to your healthcare provider, I know, like, so people, they have allergies. Even my mother, she was always allergic to animals, but she loved the animals.
You always had pets in your house.
She always had pets in the house, but she just enjoyed them. And that's why I say, animals are always there for you.
I did meet a couple of hairless cats a couple of weeks ago. That was very interesting. They kind of look like little chihuahuas or something. But so, you know, there are other alternatives.
Yeah, that's right. As opposed to the grumpy cat, which looks like
he's a big puffball. Yeah. And there's all different dogs, they say, you know, that have less hair.
But I know, really, I'm not saying if you have this, you know, stay away from the dogs and all that. But as I said,
it's what's right for you. And if it's an irritant, you have to find ways of coping with it and, you know, things like that. So,
and that's what is you want to
enjoy. I'm not saying go out and remove your carpet.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have somebody that can come in and vacuum for you while you're, you know, outdoors or out, that would probably be helpful. You know, it depends on your situation.
Okay. I know we're being inundated and with all these commercials on TV, and I think that's always like interesting that I've said on the show is that the old days, the pharmaceutical companies would go to the physicians and say, gee, this is a good medication. You should try to prescribe it to your patients. Okay, that was the old days. Now it's done vis-a-vis television, so that when you watch television and you see a commercial on something, you're supposed to then go to your doctor and then talk to the doctor about it, okay?
Right.
So that's why we're getting inundated with all these commercials that are on TV. And, I just saw one on COPD. Well, we already said the one about where the person has the elephant,
on
the
chest. Right.
But there are, like, different kinds of medicine that, as they said, this is a chronic disease. It's in the word, you know, a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Chronic disease, as we've always said, it's a disease that you have for a long term that you can manage, but you cannot cure. So let's go over some of the ways in which it is managed. And this is what I'm saying, that it's like a lifelong form of managing it.
Right. So like you said, there are medications. There's quick relief medications, and there's also long-term medications that can help. And also antibiotics, if you do develop an infection, it is important to treat that because it might get worse. And
again, they also say about with antibiotics. I know Dr. O'Dowd, who's been on the show numerous times, you don't routinely take antibiotics, okay?
Right.
Because that could develop resistant strains or what have you. But as I said, obviously you can't take an antibiotic unless it is prescribed
your doctor. The use of antibiotics is only recommended and used to treat and diagnose infections.
Okay, so really that you do have it, if you do have a sudden attack, they do have that quick relief medication as well as you're taking long-term medications.
Again, these are long-term control.
Right, for long-term control. But these are all, you know, generic things. These are all things that you would be discussing with your doctor at all times. They also said that other things that can be prescribed is they're saying like diuretics or even potassium supplements, okay? That's because if you're taking a diuretic and you're voiding a lot, You're going to lose some of your nutrients and electrolytes from your body, and therefore there'll be ways in which you should be, you should be
Because the diuretics are often prescribed, of course, to get rid of fluid, which for people who might have heart failure along with, COPD, so now you have two things that are making it difficult for you to breathe, so that, sometimes will relieve. They all have side effects, of course, and have to be prescribed by a physician. You should never, take somebody else's medication, because you think it might help you.
Okay, and then we know that, as we said, when you have COPD, is that you're not getting, the oxygen isn't getting in to your bloodstream, and that's going to slow you down. It's going to make it very, very difficult, and they can prescribe oxygen therapy, and I know many of our, we do have,
Patients
that are on oxygen therapy.
Well, oxygen's even come a long way. The days of having all the tanks in your house and having to wheel them around are kind of dwindling because more people are using oxygen concentrators, which actually take in the outdoor, the air, and make a more purified oxygen.
It's directly. Almost like an air conditioner, mm-hmm. right? You take the air that's in the room.
Recirculating it into, through the tube that you're using to inhale it.
So. Okay, but the reason that oxygen therapy, maybe using, that's, of course, when you have, low oxygen levels in your blood, it can always improve, the ability to do physical activities. Your energy level would improve. You'd be able to sleep more. Alertness, memory, and even, just your general mood that you're
sure.
feeling.
If you have difficulty breathing and you feel tired, you feel lethargic, you can't do as much, and your mood is affected. And your memory can be affected by lack of oxygen as mm-hmm. well. So, the oxygen therapy can help. You certainly, if you're prescribed to use oxygen, you have to go by what the physician tells you, how much to use. It's delivered in liters.
Right, and it's like taking medication. And you have to have it at the right flow rate. You can't be given. And people don't realize that too much oxygen can be bad.
Isn't good either.
Yeah, people thought, 1 liter is good, 2 must be twice as good. And that's not the case. And that's why it's something that has to be followed. And you have to make sure that they are taking it at the appropriate times.
And it might, your doctor might prescribe the flow rate depending on what you're doing. If you're sleeping or you're exuding any activity.
I've seen guys out on the golf course
with their oxygen tank
and go for it.
What's your normal, if you're sitting and relaxing and watching, television or eating and things like that. So sometimes there's different rates, but you never change your rate unless it's approved and prescribed by your physician. So remember that.
Okay, and you're listening to Health Matters. When we come back, we'll talk about how you can deal with the stress of having COPD, as well as more on a healthy lifestyle. You're listening to Health Matters.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the 5 boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Hi, this is your friendly farming family physician, Dr. Nathan Johnson from Crystal Run Healthcare. Join me and my wife, Irisha,
every Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. on Road to Liberty, where we will focus on family matters and healthy habits on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hi, I'm Pat O'Dwyer. Join me on the Friday Roundtable for a provocative look at politics and the people in our Hudson Valley community on the Friday Roundtable at 9 a.m. on WTBQ.
WTBQ.
Okay, and welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fella, Director of Education at A&T Healthcare, and I'm with my wife, Ann Fella. And we are, COPD Awareness Month, and that's what our topic is today. It is also the National American Smokeout Day, where you want to stop smoking for one day. If you are a smoker, you should quit smoking for the one day or try to stop smoking. We've been talking about COPD, and we've stressed the importance of preventing it. And I guess the number one, right, Ann, the number one thing to prevent it is stop smoking. There's no other simple ways of saying it. We've also talked about other ways in which it can exacerbate this particular condition. But right now we want to talk about, I know we've probably touched on this several times throughout our other shows, but preventing respiratory infections.
Absolutely. People with COPD are more likely to get respiratory infections. And some of the ways that you can help prevent that is talk to your healthcare provider about getting the flu shot. I know we've talked about that a lot.
That's right.
And also the pneumonia shot. People with chronic illnesses are very often encouraged to.
And how long does that last?
I'm not 100% sure anymore. I know that it's changed. It used to be once in a lifetime, but that guideline may
a lot
change.
Of times when they start it, they start changing the data on it. So, but then check with your doctor
about that.
As opposed to the flu shot that you do recommend it every year, you should get
flu
that.
Flu shot is every year, absolutely. The pneumovax is less frequently. Washing your hands, you know.
Your mother was right.
Wash your hands before you eat. But a lot of times, you know, when you come in from being out at the store or the mall or, you know, where you've touched railings and such, where many other people have touched, you do want to wash your hands. It's very important. That will help to protect you to avoid, you know, if you've come in contact with any cold or flu viruses. Of course, stay out of big crowds as much as possible if you're, you know, not feeling well. And watch for, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, like flus and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't know, you know, a lot of times in a big crowd, you don't know who might be ill and if you're susceptible.
I've said this numerous times on the show, but with the holiday season coming upon us and everything, and people come up to you and they say they want to give you a kiss and they say, oh, no, don't kiss me, I have a cold. They stick out their hand, but that's the same hand that's rubbing the
rubbing the
eyes and ears, and that's what they're, shake hands with me.
You're going to have to do the fist bump or the elbow bump.
The elbow bump.
I think that's what the kids do in school,
elbow bump. Actually, my dermatologist did that. I'm very tactical. I'm always like shaking hands and reaching out and all that. So,
and of course, watch for signs of any cold, flu, or infection so that you can call your health care provider right away if you have a fever, if you're having an increased difficulty or hard time breathing, stuffy nose, increased coughing, fatigue. And of course, if you're coughing and you're, you know, raising a lot of mucus that, you know, could be infected. Another thing that might help is an air conditioner, of course, in the warm weather, and a dehumidifier or a humidifier, things that clean the air.
Yeah, the humidifier puts the humidity in, and the dehumidifier pulls it out, and usually you have the humidifiers up in the higher floors of the house, and the dehumidifiers in the lower part of the house.
Right. Okay. In addition to infections, there are things that you can do to, you know, it can be very stressful, I'm sure, and anxiety-driven if you're having difficulty breathing or fear that you're going to have difficulty breathing. You might be quite stable, but you might be thinking about, well, if I do that, am I going to get short of breath? What should I do? And,
right,
it is important.
No, it is stressful that, if you're always having trouble breathing or you could get a sudden attack at all, sure, that's certainly got to play havoc on your mind and body.
So, of course, just doing some visualization, kind of close your eyes and imagine you're in a relaxing place like a beach, or picture yourself just relaxing, doing something that you like, listening to music.
Listen to music.
Soft music, whatever music you enjoy.
Whatever relaxes you, yes, that's important.
Of course, meditation, can help. And also just relaxing your muscles, just helps you to relax, will lighten your breathing a little bit and, improve your mind and your soul.
Okay, that's all things that work, but it's all part of being able to deal with it.
Certainly, eating right, and we always talk about eating right. A lot of times, people with COPD are thinner because they're using so much energy to breathe, and so you have to be sure that you're getting enough calories in your diet to keep up your energy and strength. And of course, if you're overweight, you want to try to have a reduced calorie intake.
Right. This is all part of our talking points, and we always say this on Health Matters, that healthy lifestyle, that the good diet,
absolutely,
always works.
Always. And if eating a big meal is too much, you don't have to eat three big meals a day. You can have six smaller meals a day. That certainly helps, and it helps with a lot of things: your breathing, your digestion, and such. And drinking plenty of fluids, drinking water, juices and things like that are important.
Okay, that will also, by drinking the fluids, that'll keep the mucus thin and make it
easier to cough it up.
And I always say this as you get older, and I'm an example of it too, is that people, they don't drink as much because they don't feel the urge to drink. And then when they do feel thirsty, that's usually the time where they've started to become dehydrated. So always make sure that you have a good source of water that's readily available that you can be drinking.
Keeping a healthy weight, and also getting the exercise that you can do. Exercise can help your body better use oxygen, strengthen muscles, and also improve your state of mind, which we very often talk about. And whenever, I think every diagnosis or every medical condition we've discussed, exercise and diet have always been a big part of it. So, you certainly don't have to run, a marathon.
That's right.
You can, at your own pace, walk 5 minutes, walk 10 minutes, whatever. And of course, you should be talking to your physician about what your limitations are and what your physician thinks your limitations might be. But at the same time, you can set goals with your physician to help you reach even small goals or successful goals. And choose activities that you enjoy. Like you said, you've seen people on the golf course with, their little oxygen concentrator and things like that.
So, okay.
And exercising with a friend is always helpful.
Okay. Well, where's the time going, Anne? Okay, we've talked about COPD, the COPD Awareness Month, and it was very, I want to say it's always important that we talk about the prevention, and we have the same talking points about the healthy lifestyle, but that's what this is, the month, and people want to be aware of it. We did talk about smoking. That's the number one, and that's something you do have control over as opposed to air pollution or what have you. So before we go, I just want to say, as I always say at the end, to you, your family, and friends, I wish you all the best. And we'll see you next week on Health Matters. Thank you so much. Have a good one. Feeling all right.